Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to episode 1059 of Down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to theathletic.com/down2dunk and get The Athletic for half off. This podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at directtv.com. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool.
Slam through.
And Taylor.
So that's my dog, Teddy. I said, dog, what is 2 minus 2? He said, nothing. I said, 1, 2, 3, take a hand and come with me, because it looks so fine that I really want to make you mine. Looks so fine that I really... Slam through.
Wow. Great. No J.
No J. No J.
No J.
And no J.
Do you remember that era of like popular rock music when it was all that kind of like classic rock was coming back? Yeah. You had Jet, Wolf Mother. Remember that band?
Yeah.
I think it was the early aughts.
Yeah, it was early aughts.
The Hives.
The Hot. Is it Hives? Yeah, I guess so.
I think so.
I don't know. Hey, guys, we got to jump right into a deep dive. Guys, big news from Down to Dunk Land, which is where we live. We have now opening today, right now. We're tweeting it out. We're putting it in the live chat. We're going to tweet it out more. The official new Down to Dunk t-shirt shop. This is open. Thank you, Taylor. This is not something where it's for a limited time and then like we're taking pre-orders. No, this is when you buy it, your shirt is printed. This is going to be open forever. So you go and check it out.
Forever. Your great, great grandchildren will be able to buy these. Ugh.
That's true. And the website is going to be hard to remember. However, that's why we're tweeting it out.
The link is in our bio, in our
link
Twitter bio.
In bio.
Yeah.
But if you want it right now, it's down-to-dunk.creator-spring.com. And we have 3 new shirts. Right. Plus, we have in every t-shirt variety, if the Down to Dunk logo, if you want it on a shirt, if you want it on a lady's shirt, if you want it on a tank top, if you want it on a hoodie, if you want it on something else, you can get it.
Classic long sleeve.
Classic long sleeve. You can get it. And new shirts. We have a Josh Giddey shirt. Go check it out. It is new. We have
illustrated by
Brandon Land. He helped us with all of these, and we're hoping he's going to help us in the future. Go and follow him on Twitter and Instagram. He is at Brandon Land _. He's the man. He's been so helpful. But the other shirts, we are releasing a version of our old Scared Money Don't Make Money, but in a new updated color.
This was the colorway we wanted to do.
This is the original version that we wanted to do. We're unable to do. And so now we're releasing it because I always thought, oh man, it was so cool. We should have released the better version. And so now we are. And then the final
Scared Money Don't Make None.
Yeah, scared money don't make none. I don't know what I said. Anyway.
Did you just say Scared Money Don't Make Mun?
Maybe.
You did.
Maybe. Now the and then the third.
Oh, man, my. I'm sorry.
The third new shirt is based on the popular phrase psycho behavior. And it's our psycho behavior shirt.
It's our thunder psycho behavior shirt.
Please go check that out. I'm very excited about this. As things, you know, we'll periodically
yeah.
update
it. I'm so excited to get
as we get, you know, as we release new shirts, we want to start releasing them and keep them up. So if you see an old one, you can buy them. When we release new ones, you can buy them. If you have a great idea for a shirt, want to inspire us, or if you have some like graphic design stuff, skills, slide right into my DMs and talk to me about it. Hey, and we can work with you.
Does this ship internationally?
I think it does ship internationally to Europe.
Not New Zealand.
I don't know beyond that. Go check it out.
Oh, man, you got to figure that out.
We got Australians. We got Kiwis.
We can try. I don't know, but I know there's a Europe auction, but I don't know if there's anything else. So check it out.
Oh,
and
man, we got to get these. We got to get these. There might be. I don't know.
But they are. I'm very excited about it. Also,
worldwide shipping available.
Worldwide shipping available.
Worldwide.
There you go. These shirts are going worldwide. Guys, I could not be more excited about this. We've been working on this for
way too long,
a long time, and been very, very, very excited about it. So go check it out. Go buy some. And that is my deep dive.
It's great.
That was a text. Everyone loves it.
Bing.
And everyone, please do go follow Brandon Land at @BrandonLand_. He helped us out. His art is awesome. Yes. And he's just a great, great, great dude. Thunder fan. And he's the man.
Also, shout out to Dusty Gilpin for designing our Down to Dunk logo.
True.
How long ago? 8 years ago?
Yeah, but remember the first one?
And the first one
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to get that first one put on a shirt.
A classic. The classic. I mean, I'll bet there are very few people that know about that logo.
Very few. Back then, we had very few listeners.
I'm confident that there are some listeners that still would know it if they saw it, but most people would not. Cool.
Cool deep.
Cool deep.
Nice deep dive, Elman.
Nice deep.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, Tayshaun, do you have a factoid fictionary?
Yeah.
You do?
Yep.
Okay.
Tayshaun's factoid fictionary mystery. Tayshaun's factoid fictionary mystery.
All right, I'll start this off with some Ben Simmons news, an update.
You have an update?
I like the Ben Simmons updates. Basically, they're threatening him to say, who said it? Someone from the front office, I don't think it was Maury, but someone said, yeah, he'll come back. $390,000 a day is going to start hurting. Something like that. Okay. I'm paraphrasing this quote.
Oh.
So they're going to start fining him, and they're like publicly.
Yeah.
Threatening it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a team that's going to have a great season.
Yeah.
Looking forward to a great year. That's somebody whose trade value is just going to skyrocket.
Uh-huh. Unbelievable.
If you were any team, you know, he said he only wants to go to the three California teams. If you're any other team, you're giving nothing for him. Just pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, that's funny.
If you're even trading for him at all.
We did a podcast, Alex and I did, with Keith Parrish, who covers the Grizzlies yesterday. And we were talking about like a potential Ben Simmons trade with the Grizzlies. And he's talking about trading like Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton, and maybe like one other player and like a draft pick for Ben Simmons. And he's like, that kind of feels like too much to give up for Ben Simmons. And my comment was like, that's every conversation with like every team and every fan base, including the Sixers, mm-hmm. where they like hear about that trade package and they're like, ain't no way.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And the other teams are like, I don't know if I want to give up that much. Where it's like, I don't know if I want to give up our 6th, 7th, and 8th best players for a guy that made the All-NBA team.
You know? Yeah, that's crazy, man.
But that's how everybody feels. He's one of the more difficult players to trade because of that. And because of like the sour taste everybody has in their mouth about the way that things, like the last game that he played with the Sixers, and then the way things have gone this summer. I mean, it's just, I don't know how they're going to get what they want, the Sixers.
I don't know how they are either, because that is going to be the problem, is the Sixers know that guy. Sixers fans know him, and they're like, yeah, that guy is really good, and yeah, we're pissed at him for mm-hmm. how he was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we know he's way better than that. Every other team, every other fan, like what you're saying, just sees him in big games, never show up.
Yeah. They see him as the guy who didn't dunk.
Yeah. Like, I don't want that star on my team. That's not a star I can trust.
Yeah.
But then there was also there was a Damian Lillard interview somewhere. I don't know. Obviously, I didn't do a good job of sourcing all this, but just trust I saw it. And he was talking about how when they won gold, he had to have Draymond Green help him. Like, he didn't know how to spray champagne. And he said, I've never won a championship before, and Dre's won three, so I needed help from the champ to spray champagne. And then, so there's that one, too. And then there's one more thing. And it was from SGA, and he was talking about being traded in the GQ article, being traded from the Clippers, and saying, you know, the NBA is a business. So I was just thinking about loyalty. That's a thing that comes up all the time in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's not just sports. I mean, it's our own lives too. So what do you guys think about loyalty in professional settings? Is it important, and how far does that go? And then in your life, obviously. So, Andrew, loyalty. Spit, loyalty. Bro.
Loyalty in general. I do think it's important.
Yeah. Let's do workplace loyalty.
Yeah. No, I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it really just depends on your situation, too. Like, did the company or whoever you're with, like, take a chance on you? Do they help you get to where you are? Like, I think there's some loyalty that's deserved there. There's probably situations where it's not deserved. I don't know. Like, I think NBA stuff is interesting because they didn't choose these teams. They were, their team was chosen based on a lottery system that, and then the teams get to select you on a night, and then you're just magically on their team. So it's not even like we want you, you want to come here. It's just like,
that's hey,
true. Especially if you're the best player in the draft class, it's like, oh, like Ben Simmons. Hey, because the Sixers got the number one pick, you're a Sixer.
Yeah.
Because the lottery balls landed the way they did, you're a Sixer.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, imagine your employment being chosen like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, imagine like where you're going to move, where you're going to live, at least for like the next like 5 years, is chosen by a machine.
And you're expected to learn how to love that city, embrace the fans, embrace your teammates, and maybe the coaches, you do. Be like loyal.
A lot of people do. Like, Tim Duncan absolutely embraced San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And
but that's luck too, right? Because it was like, it was a personality type.
Yeah, it, without a doubt was. And, you know, Russell Westbrook even. Like, it was lucky that the Thunder got the fourth pick. Or maybe it was unlucky. I think maybe it was unlucky. I think they fell back.
Hmm.
But then they just chose him. This kid from L.A. went to UCLA. Come to Oklahoma City and play basketball.
I guess it's kind of the same for the SGA situation right now, too, because we had Paul George. The only reason he's here is because the Clippers traded him here because we happened to have Paul George and Kawhi wanted Paul George.
Yeah.
So now SGA, you know, he's getting paid. Maybe it's just your loyalty goes as long as you are getting paid by that person if it's enough money.
Yeah.
Right?
Or as
like
long
Luke.
As, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right, because the thing is that it just depends on what level of star they are. And obviously their loyalty is paid with millions and millions of dollars. And so it is a like relationship where they both benefit. But the problem that I think about is like where it turns and like the fan base turns on a player or player does something that, you know, ultimately it is a business. And so really, I think whatever loyalty there is really, you know, not like it's all just based on randomness. And so I think that it's, I don't think it's at, I think it's a bigger deal than like, it's more, there's more made out about it than there really is. Like they're benefiting from loyalty, and so is the team. And as long as that's mutually beneficial, it's like, oh yeah, I'll be as loyal as possible. But once that turns, man, when things get really negative, I mean, it goes away in a flash.
Yeah. I think Damian Lillard is such a good example of this. Yeah. Because remember, he wouldn't even work out with other superstars. I mean, he was like adamant about, no, I'm not doing a super team. I don't care about these other guys. Mm-hmm. Like, it's Portland. That's my team. We're going to do this. And now look at it. Yeah. It's like, click. Okay, I'm 30. Is he 30 now?
30. I think he might be 31.
30, 31. We're not really any closer to a championship than we were 4 years ago when I was denying working out with superstars or taking phone calls or whatever. Yeah. Now it's so much. Now he's public about his frustrations with Portland, and that loyalty, you can see it just dissipate. It's almost just gone now.
Because it's so weird, because like the best person that I've ever seen like end terms on a team is the way we did with Russ. Like, we were both on the same page about what was best for Oklahoma City and Oklahoma and Russ. And it's only because that those things aligned that was able to do it. And I think Oklahoma City has done a very good job of working with players to make sure that what's best for the Thunder and what's best for the players align, so that guys are loyal. And like, you think like the Mavericks, they have not done that. They do what's best for them, and they have a horrible reputation because of that, I think, with players.
Well, the Mavericks?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Mavs had like one of the most loyal players in NBA history.
Yeah.
Well,
and Dirk.
Well, yeah, but beyond that, I'm not talking about Dirk. I'm talking about beyond that. They, you know, I
who are you talking about specifically, I guess?
I think Noel was not treated very well there.
That's not New Orleans, though. I think
he's only there for like a season. Yeah.
And I've just heard, I just think that they don't have a good reputation.
You just don't like Cuban, is what's happening here.
I love cubes.
Really?
You do?
I love Shark Tank. I don't really have a strong opinion either way.
It's a very confusing Mavericks conversation.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
But what I'm saying, really getting back to Oklahoma City's very, very good about that loyalty, in that they're trying to work with that. And
they're good at least they are a loyal franchise publicly, at least.
I would just say that they are very honest, if anything, and upfront with players, and willing to hear the other side too.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want? Like, what does the player want?
What does the agent want?
You know how they learned to do that? Because they got burned.
They got major burned. Well, what do you think? You brought up Russ. What did you think about that report that came out earlier this summer about Russ and Kawhi were talking before that last season?
Mm-hmm.
And Russ was already planning on leaving.
Russ would have liked
to
go to LA with Kawhi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think the writing was kind of on the wall, that the things were not going, this was not the team that everyone was going to stick with.
I can't remember what the feeling was going into that season. Did it feel like that? Was it like, okay, this team has to really do something or it's probably
was
over?
That the Carmelo season?
No, it was the season after. So it didn't feel like that at all, because Paul had just signed his contract.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it felt like, okay, finally we have some stability since Kevin left. That's how it felt. That was the vibe amongst the fan base. Mm. And then we were like, okay, we just need to get to the second round and then we can see what happens. And maybe they can do something. And then when they were not able to do it, like, the frustration had just like hit an all-time high. And that's where Russ, and it, everything worked out so well for Russell.
Yeah.
That Kawhi wanted Paul instead of him, especially just for like his reputation overall. Cause let's say that Russ goes first, and we hear the story is that Russell calls Kawhi and says, hey, I want out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Then like, what does the fan base, how does the fan base react to that? Like, we're all like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You were our guy. What happened here? But because Kawhi was like, oh great, this team is breaking up, let me get the better player, here with me. And then like Russ, it felt like, oh man, they left Russ. They left Russ all alone here. We gotta get him somewhere good.
And then Russ leaves and he's like, well, what do you expect? You know,
right?
What's he got left? He did everything for us. He's got to do something.
Yeah, we have to do right by Russ.
Yeah,
we gotta do right by Russ. You know, it's just funny, and it was just the way that things lined up. And now that we find it out, like later. Like, who cares? Like, all right, let's, you know, he's on his fourth team in 4 years. Like, okay, whatever.
Do you think Kevin Durant leaving killed that in us? Because we used to be like that.
I think a combination of that mixed with the fact that they couldn't get out of round one.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, if they had gotten to the Western Conference Finals and then Russ was like, you know what, I've had enough. Then we would have been like, what? Because that was part of why it hurt so bad with Kevin, is that we're in game 7 of the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much closer to the NBA Finals than that. And then he like breaks up the team because you get so close. With that team, it was like, oh boy, like I don't know if we're going anywhere with these guys.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fine because they were like one of the most expensive teams, I think if not the most expensive team in the league. And you can't even get close to getting out of round one,
mm-hmm.
then it's just like, okay, like it makes sense. Like, it's okay. We need to do, something needs to change here.
Yeah.
This mix is not going to work.
Do you think that, so I know this is going on a long time, but this is interesting. The SGA article, we can just go into it, I guess.
Let's go into it. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's first take a quick break and then we'll jump in.
Okay.
For TQs.
Okay.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. And we're back from that quick break. Time to talk about some TQs.
Myth.
John.
Twitter questions.
There it is.
Oh my gosh.
Found the button.
Oh, goodness.
Whoops.
Oh, our first Twitter question comes from Brian M. Bailey, who wants to know, what are your thoughts on the Shea GQ article and the comparison of himself to Steve Nash?
I can see it. I'd never thought of that before. But then when Shea said it, now I'm like, oh, okay, I can...
Smooth.
Yeah.
Cool under pressure.
I see it more like from his scoring ability.
Good
like the way
teammate.
He scores is kind of, is like how Steve Nash would score.
He likes to dribble the ball under the basket round and round in circles until he finds Amare. Same thing.
Yeah, that's not the same.
Yeah, not the same thing.
But the way he scores his buckets, I'm like,
do you think
like,
it's
okay,
just that he's Canadian?
That. Maybe.
You think it's just Canadian?
That he's Canadian and he's a point guard?
Yeah, Canadian point guards. Is that it? It sounds cool, though, when he said it. I was like, that's cool. All right. Maybe you can be our guy. I read the article, and afterwards I felt like, oh, man, this is cool.
Yeah, I felt...
like, this is great to have... Like, he... Okay, so because you asked the question a few weeks ago, like, does he have like that?
Yeah,
the cachet.
I think I said that certain je ne sais quoi.
Yes, you did say that, and then we were like, "What does that mean?" And, but I was just translating, and I didn't even know it. Okay.
Oh, no. Anyways. Luke said the actual definition of it on accident.
No, it's an Austin Powers quote. That's what I said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dr. Evil, he says, surgeon, Jinnish take law, surgeon, what the French call a surgeon, I don't know what.
Yeah. Which is really what it means.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. What were your, how did you feel after reading that article? Do you feel like
scared.
That he's going to leave?
I got scared. Because I was like, oh no, this guy is like way more into... big city stuff.
These are the exact same things that happened with Russell. It's the exact like storyline of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Where it's like not highly recruited out of high school, not thought of as one of the greats even on his college team.
Right.
And Shea ended up being the best of that group. Russ ended up being the best of that group. They obviously weren't both drafted by Oklahoma City, but both came to Oklahoma City. And have been much better than anyone thought they would be. Mm-hmm. And they love fashion.
Yes.
And they're both pretty quiet.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just, it's like eerie almost.
That's so true. Oh God.
I mean,
Russ loved it here
and stayed and had things worked out, would have stayed and retired here.
Yeah.
We talked about Tim Duncan with loyalty earlier, but if Tim didn't win any titles and continued to go out in round one every single year, you think Tim Duncan would have just been completely satisfied staying in San Antonio? Mm. Like some of the loyalty that spewed out of that San Antonio organization was because they were winning titles.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
Like if we won four titles with that group, you think there'd be loyalty? Of course there would be.
Yeah.
If you continue to not reach your goals... with an organization, and you just feel like you can't get there, and you can cite reasons why. Hey, we didn't play the right people in the NBA Finals in 2012. Like that was a coaching error. That was an organizational error. And everybody's saying it online. Everybody's saying it on TV. I can see it too. Huh. What do I think about this? Let's go into injury, injury, injury. Oh my gosh, we just can't get there. We lose Golden State. Well, we just can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they win against Golden State, maybe everything changes. Like winning changes everything.
Yeah, it does. And I think I have small market insecurity.
We all do. Yes. We all have that small market chip on our shoulder.
And I'm just so insecure, and I don't trust anything players say about OKC anymore after the Kevin Durant stuff.
Yeah.
Because that was like the guy. And we all fell for him, and he left us.
He
left.
He faked it for us, too.
And now I don't... And Russ kind of did that, too. Not as much as KD, but Russ didn't have...
We were all ready. Everyone was ready when it was Russ's turn.
Yeah.
But, and they traded him, too, which is a huge, huge difference from just leaving in free agency.
Yes.
Russ had his chance to leave in free agency and didn't.
Yeah.
Even Paul George, who... everybody just dumps on all the time, had the chance to leave in free agency. But he was a man of his word. He took a contract with OKC and set up the future for the team. If Paul just said after that first season, you know what? That didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That sucked. He could have gone to play with LeBron. People forget that. He could have gone to play for the Lakers and LeBron James. He had the opportunity. It was there. There was probably more loyalty from Paul George in that moment than there ever was from Kevin, which is really strange to think about because Paul was here for a very short time. But signing that contract and trusting that the Thunder would send him wherever he wanted was such a... I mean, it is the difference between Sam Presti looking like a genius right now with all these draft picks and like nice young players and having Shea and all these things to... everything looking like a huge mess here.
Because
you don't get Shea. You don't get the draft picks. What do you get for Russ in a trade after that season? Like maybe a little bit more than you did after the other season. But you're still not getting that much.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine...
The Clippers trade is the thing.
Imagine this current team without Shea, without all those draft picks. I mean... there's a world where that happens, yeah, and OKC is left out to dry.
That'd be pretty bad.
So really, the only person that we should, the number one person we should worry about, you know, maybe becoming disloyal or becoming unsatisfied here, yeah, with this franchise is Presti.
Samuel. Maybe.
Sam.
Maybe. I don't know.
God, I hope he's not a big city man.
Sam is living the dream right now. The job I would have been worried about was Sam's Boston, for yeah, sure. And that job here and gone like that, which is a good thing. If that had gone for months, I honestly would have been saying like, hey, I think Sam's going to go.
Dang.
Good thing he's not a big city man.
Oh, I hope he's not a big city man.
He's living the GM dream right now. It's like you get to build this way. I think a lot of GMs would love to be able to have the cachet to be able to do this.
Well,
to be able to build slowly with all these draft picks. I think that there's a lot of GMs that are just like, yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that to the fan base. I can't do that. Mm. My ownership group won't let me do it. We can't do it.
Yeah. But that's true.
But he's getting to do it, and you get to see how it really works. Like, you get to actually carry out the process and see how it really works.
Okay, I have one more question. Sorry, Luke, I know you're trying to go on, but this is important to me.
Don't worry, I'm just looking.
Small market insecurities, I feel like we're being very vulnerable right now. At least I am. What are some other fan bases that probably also have small market insecurity that we can be friends with? Memphis? Do you think they worry about it as much as we do?
Well, I don't know, because they haven't had that experience yet. One, they haven't had like the highest level of player. Like, their best player in franchise history is Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
If Marc Gasol played for the Thunder at some point, even at his peak prime, what is he, like the fifth best player in franchise history?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I mean, that's probably right. Maybe even less than that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
Okay, Portland.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we can identify with a lot of these fan base. Really, I mean, name a small market that we can't identify with.
San Antonio. But I think that's just because they've had... I mean, we can identify with them at some way, but San Antonio fans have way more self-esteem, I think, NBA team.
True. But I think that we're trying to base our whole thing off of them. So, like, a lot of what we do is based on what they were doing. That's where Sam Presti
came
from.
We just haven't had the success.
Well, I know, but I think that still we can identify with them because we're trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, San Antonio's in a weird spot right now. Like, mm-hmm. What are the Spurs this season?
But I'm thinking about their fan base, and their fan base is probably not freaking out about it.
I don't know. I don't think that's true.
Really?
I just don't think we hear from them much.
That's true. They're not really. We don't really hear a lot from San.
There's not been a lot going on with the Spurs since the Kawhi stuff.
Yeah.
I would be. I mean, there's been rumblings that they don't want Pop there anymore.
I would probably be in that same boat.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, like we're dragging this out because this coach wants to be 500.
Yeah, loyalty.
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 Yeah, I don't know.
Weird. Cool.
It's weird.
Hey, at least we're not New York Knicks fans, right?
Yeah.
Tayshaun's factoid bigger and victory.
That was a 2-hour Tayshaun factoid victory. It bled into TQs.
It did.
Get your Tayshaun factoid victory here on the TQs.
Huh?
Hey, let's go.
Have a Tayshaun's factoid victory shirt.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, once he
with
gets
a cat tower on it.
Once he gets the juice down to me, we can talk about it maybe. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, let's go on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @Andrew_Eeler. He wants to know, if Shea proclaims to be the black version of Steve Nash, then which classic NBA player would Poku potentially become?
Huh.
Hmm.
What 7-footer
plays on the perimeter. Big booty, tiny torso, tiny guy on the top, big guy on the bottom. Who are we talking about? I think he's one of a kind.
Yeah, who else would this be? Even style of play.
What about like early career Boris Diaw?
That is a guy body type. Yeah, we're just talking about body types.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know that Poku could ever get as big as Boris got in Charlotte.
Yeah, that was.
But wow. Like, big guy can pass, can shoot, he can kind of do all the things.
I think that's a pretty good comp.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good comp. Phoenix Boris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, I like that.
Maybe even Atlanta Boris.
I have no frame of reference for that.
He just wasn't as big. Okay. I guess he wasn't at that big in the early Phoenix days either. But he got big. So that's where it's a bad comp.
Yeah, but early Boris, I think, is
big. I thought about Lamar Odom.
Hmm.
Big guy that can handle.
Yeah, I think of Lamar Odom as more of a, like a your second point guard kind of player.
Poku. Second point guard type of player.
Poku's so much taller than these guys, too. They're just not, like...
Is he... The thing about Poku is that he, at least in his rookie season, was kind of slouched over some when he was playing. So he doesn't look as big.
No. He does not play as big as he is.
He doesn't play as big as Boris or Lamar.
No that's true. Like, they would post up and do some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Diaw, in his heyday, was picking guys apart in the post.
Yeah, that's true.
God,
Lamar would, too, especially those Lakers days.
Oh, man. I love Lamar. He was so good.
That was so good. Those are good comps, but one of a kind.
Yeah. Poku would never...
Wait and see. Only
Poku,
time will tell.
Poku would never say what Shea said, though.
About what?
Anytime you ask Poku about, like, who did you watch growing up? Who do you model your game after? He's been asked this question several times. He always just says that I am just Poku. He's just Poku.
So he didn't watch the NBA then?
I mean, he said that
he watches Poku.
He said that he was traded to or transferred to this club.
Yes.
When he came here. Do you think he watched the NBA growing up?
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Let's go to our next Twitter question. It comes from @sportsperson17, who wants us to rank these players by their top end ceiling. SGA, Giddy, Dort, Poku, Bazley.
Top end.
SGA one.
The tip top
tippy top
ceiling. The best
tippy
they could ever be.
Tippy top.
Poku number one.
Okay.
Really?
The best they could ever be? The thing about it that he has over Shea is that he's 7 feet tall.
Yes.
He's got long arms. If he ever hit his peak, he would basically be Kevin Durant.
Oh my God, is that the comp?
Skinny wing.
Yeah.
7 feet tall.
Great. Okay, so Poku number one.
Poku number one. If he hits his absolute ceiling, the absolute ceiling, number one. Number two.
SGA.
Absolute ceiling?
Yeah. What are we talking about here? Poku, SGA, Giddy.
Dort,
Bazley.
So I would say SGA next after Poku. Number three. I would say Darius Bazley's number three.
I agree.
At peak of his powers, which I would say that he has a clean 2% chance to hit the peak of his powers. But not impossible. There's a chance.
Who's his peak? Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, sure.
Love it.
Yeah, Scottie Pippen. A better shooting Scottie Pippen, let's just say that.
Yeah. Hey, if Scottie Pippen was in today's NBA, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
He'd be too old.
Yeah, he would be old.
Have you seen some pictures of Scottie Pippen lately?
I saw him in that documentary.
Yeah, it's even more recent. He's,
it's a face of whiskey and long-held grudges.
Oh, no.
That's true. Poor guy. Let it go, Scotty.
He can't let it go.
He can't. He really cannot let it go.
He's been driven crazy.
Oh, man.
Who's number four?
Number four on this
list. I'm going
list.
Dort here. There's no way I'm giving Giddy anything. He better be good at basketball.
Let's let L-Man decide.
They tie. There's going to be the exact same.
That's the last opportunity you're given right. This podcast.
Yeah, that's actually true. Okay. Yeah, I actually do think that it's probably Ooh. Josh Giddy as far as ceiling goes.
You're about to get a good question.
6'9".
Damn, he fine.
Damn, he fine.
Come on, sock it to me one more time.
Get low. Get low. Get low. Get low. Get low. Get low.
Get low.
Point guard.
Sweat dripping down his balls.
You will like him once you see him play. He can whip passes with both hands. When you see him with his offhand throw a pass that nobody else on the team can throw with their on hand, you're gonna be like, whoa, hey there, boy.
I better see it.
I think you're gonna see
it. I'm excited to.
He's really fun, and he will probably be the most animated player on the court for the Thunder.
Really?
This season. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets this, like, at least you saw this with the Adelaide 36ers, like, he gets this, like, alpha mentality when he's on the court. That when you see him just out in the wild, you don't get that vibe from him.
No.
You really don't. But, or when he's talking to the media, you don't get that vibe, but he possessed that at least with the 36ers. I don't know if it translates to the NBA or not. Hopefully it does. But he at least had that going for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dort's probably last. And part of that is that we have seen, like, close to maybe best case scenario. If, you know, the day that he signed the two-way contract with the Thunder, if you were to talk about a best case scenario for Lou Dort, he's probably hit at least that.
But is that based on we have lower expectations for him, and we always have, than these other guys, just because he's undrafted guy?
Without a doubt. But that's a part of the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a part of this.
Yeah. Of this game or basketball?
Basket life, really.
Oh, life.
The game of life.
Life.
The game of loyalty.
Oh, wow. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
But it doesn't mean... I mean... So on the Dream Team show this week, we ranked the players, all the young players, and Dort was number two mm-hmm. on the list, just because he's the second best guy after Shea.
Yeah.
Because nobody else has shown, like, everything else is theoretical with all these guys. Mm-hmm. But the ceiling conversation is a different one. Like, it's a way different conversation.
That's what is so frustrating about Bazley, is you see what his ceiling can be.
Yeah.
And... it's just, why?
This is just year four for him.
Yeah, year four, though.
He's still really young. He's only 22.
Yeah, but he's already been in the corporate world, the corporate setting. I mean, he became an adult so quickly.
Mm-hmm. This is an important year for Baze. There's no doubt.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @MeLoveThunderAmo. Who wants to know, is there such a thing as too much umami flavor?
Absolutely not.
What flavor can't be umami?
You don't understand umami.
Explain to him umami.
Umami is a balance.
This is Bazley's third year. Why did I say fourth?
Okay,
it feels like four.
Feel
Didn't four feel right?
I think that's because that pandemic season was like cut in two, and that felt like two seasons.
It did. It did absolutely feel like two seasons. Yeah. This is only year three.
Okay,
he's got time.
He's got plenty of time.
He's got time.
So umami is...
he was born in the year 2000. Isn't that weird?
That's crazy. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Umami is...
he could still be... No, I'm just...
Umami is a balance of flavors. And umami is not a flavor. You describe a dish as having umami. Or you describe, you know, mushrooms would have umami. It's there's a combination of things in mushrooms that bring umami to the table.
So umami, it's not like this tastes like umami.
No, then you would say,
but this taste is umami.
Yes, or yeah, I guess.
It just like, what is that? Like the band, like it just is flavor. It's flavorful.
Yeah, you wouldn't say flavorful. Something tastes like umami, because umami is not. Umami is more a description.
What
of
is
it.
The most umami thing you've eaten in the last 48
hours?
I would say
48
that
hours.
The clear soup at
that's Inaka. What I was thinking. It is umami. It's umami.
At where?
That's crazy. At Inaka.
Inaka. Mm. The sushi place by my house.
Yes. The clear soup. It sounds so boring.
Yeah.
And then you eat it. Oh, and gosh. You're like, how does this taste so good?
The flavors. It takes you on a journey. It's so good.
It's umami.
Mm-hmm.
It's umami.
Would you open up a restaurant yourself and call it umami?
No, that's like major cultural appropriation, I think.
Really?
I think so. Just to call it umami?
Yeah.
And me cooking Asian dishes?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's wrong probably. With that? I just think, you know.
It's 2021, man.
Yeah, there's no.
How do you spell umami?
U-M-A-M-I.
Okay. There has to be restaurants called umami.
But like things that, oh, I'm sure that there are. Things that help bring umami. MSG. Parmesan cheese. Perfectly balanced seasoned dishes.
Umami was discovered 110 years ago in Japan.
Okay, and
how do you discover a description?
A description of
that's
umami.
Like beauty was discovered 100 years right. ago.
Yes, it's like beauty. It's like
in the state
beautiful.
Of California.
Umami is one of the five basic tastes. This was named in 2002.
Huh.
So sweet, bitter, salty, sour, and umami are the five basic tastes.
What is it? How does it describe umami? What is the actual definition of umami?
It's going to be
okay. It's going to be completely
something
different than what I'm saying.
Not what I'm talking
Hold on.
About.
Let's see. Essence of deliciousness.
See? This is je ne sais quoi.
Umami means essence of deliciousness. Mm. It's described as meaty, savory deliciousness that deepens flavor.
Mm. That's umami.
That's what it's described as.
Essence of deliciousness.
Yeah.
It was discovered 100 years ago. I have discovered the essence of deliciousness.
Okay, so characteristics of umami taste. Mouth fullness.
Okay.
Salivation.
Mm.
Balanced taste. Long lasting. Complexity. Tongue coating sensation.
Wow.
That's a clear soup.
Is that
clear soup, dude?
Is that correct?
Yes.
I think that's right.
But see, it's like, what is umami? It's there's something very, I don't know. It's weird.
Wow.
But I guess, how do you describe the other things? Like, how do you describe sour?
Yeah.
Mouth puckering.
Mouth puckering. Mm.
Like, it's just sour.
It just is sour. Yeah.
It's just umami.
Yeah. Right. It's just beautiful. I can't describe to you what beautiful is, but you know it when you see it.
It's true.
Umami.
I have our next Twitter question comes from at Dude Buffet. He wants to know, do you guys think it's sketchy that the moon and the sun is the same size? I think that's sketchy.
I love this question.
I think that's sketchy.
Is he trying to imply that we're living in the Truman Show?
I would believe that except... You know, sometimes during the day you can see the moon.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't fake that. They couldn't fake that.
Yeah, they could.
We don't have the technology for that.
They could not fake that. That's science that you're seeing when that happens. And I don't understand it. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Is he saying, like, when you look at the sky, the sun looks to be the same size as the moon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about when the moon and the sun both get bigger?
That's sketchy to me.
Is that sketchy?
That's sketchy.
It's kind of shady.
Yeah, I think this might be pushing into flat Earth, maybe. Maybe it is flat Earth.
Maybe. Like tree maces.
Tree maces. I believe that.
I believe that. They're stumps.
The thing that I don't Giants. Get, you know when there's an eclipse and the moon blocks the sun?
Mm. Yeah.
Why can't I look at that? You think that would be the time you could look at that.
Remember the picture of Donald Trump looking up at it?
I know, you're not supposed to. But he knows, I mean, he's a smart guy. He looked at it. He's fine.
He seems to be fine.
I want to look at it. And I don't understand. It makes sense to me. That is the one time I can look at it.
I would argue that there's nothing fine about him.
Well, you'd be wrong. But why can't I look at the eclipse? You know why?
Light.
Science tells you not to.
It holds secrets they don't want me to know.
That's true.
I'll look at it. And be like,
oh, that's when they're replacing. You know why you can't look at it? Because that's when they're replacing the big camera lens.
That's when they're replacing the bulb.
Uh-huh. Right.
Uh-huh.
Gosh, that is sketchy.
That's kind of shady.
That's shady to me. He's right.
It's also shading the sun. It's shady.
That's shady. Wow. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @Danush, who wants to know, how are the Top Shot collections looking? Are you still collecting, or have you guys stopped?
L-Man, are you still collecting Top Shot?
I've stopped. I sold all mine.
Sold all of yours.
I still have some, but I haven't logged in a little bit. So I still have about four.
How much money did you make on this?
Bro.
Because I also was like, I'm never going to be able to get my money out of this thing, because it's like, I don't know how to do it. So I was like,
now that's sketchy to me.
That was sketchy to me. I was sketched out. So I did it. And you have to pay to remove your money. There's like a cost associated with it. It's like $25. But I probably put in over the life of my Top Shot career. Mm-hmm. I only bought packs. I never bought individual moments.
Mm-hmm.
I probably put in $200, okay. I guess.
Not bad.
I took out 1,000.
Wow.
That's a win to me.
That's a great ROI.
That's a win.
Wow.
But I have not done it. I have not stuck with it. I'm probably just out.
Just out. Just down. Gone.
Not a big enough ROI?
Not enough ROI. I need more R's.
Need more R's.
Need more R's for my I.
Yep.
Wow. I'm still in. Still totally in. I haven't bought anything in a little while. I've sold some stuff. I'm kind of holding on to some assets here.
The thing that made me get out completely is that I didn't get a Top Shot shirt like you got.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that thing.
It's cool.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Are you using your account as like, are you just keeping your money in there? Have you taken any out?
I haven't taken any out.
Wow. No.
It's all there.
It's,
so
it's fun when you do take your money. Look at all this money. You get to go, look, you were wrong, Dad. Cryptocurrency is real.
I've been talking to my dad about crypto and NFTs. It's been pretty fun. Anyway, we're not going to get in. Just letting you guys know what I talked to my dad about.
Yeah.
Well, you got to show him that real money when you make it.
Do you have, Andrew, do you have a pretty good, I'm not going to ask you your money because I think it's probably more than Luke's, but do you have a pretty good account in there?
Here's the thing. His money is theoretical. Mine is real.
That's true. Yeah,
I have some nice theoretical money in there. And then I've got some nice moments in there. I have a bunch of these RJ Hampton moments that I bought at Summer League.
Hmm.
They're pretty cool.
You going to hang on to those?
I've sold several of them. I'm hanging on to several of them.
Dang.
And then I've got like a LeBron that I really like, that I'm just hanging on to.
I was so mad because at like this time last year, or like maybe before, Alex was like, you need to buy a LaMelo. It's at $400. And I was like, I was like, oh, I'll wait. Well, I'll think about it. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And it's worth a ton of money, theoretical money now.
Yeah. I've got a LaMelo. I've got some cool stuff.
You got any ladies?
Huh? No, I did not.
They make WNBA.
Got some SGAs. I've got a Carmelo Anthony that I really like.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards.
Dang. And so this is all stuff that's just sitting there, so you don't really know how much. I mean, your balance could be through the roof right now.
It could be. I'm just thinking that if this does continue to take off, I have some of like the first ones that were released.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck, because you'll probably be right, because if I know anything about myself, it's that I hate making money and I hate smart investments. I don't make them. And
you're not patient enough, are you?
I just think too much.
I sold some at like when Top Shot was like blowing up. Mm-hmm. I like threw a bunch out there and made some money, but then I've just kept a bunch of them too.
For the real collectors.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm sitting on just a bunch of them. Maybe they end up being nothing. But if they are something, cool. And if not,
how long are you going to sit on these?
Long time.
Really?
Long time. He's going to...
Long term.
He's going to... His kids are going to inherit them.
How did you get this brand new mansion? Well, my dad had this LeBron James limited edition from 2021.
Like, oh... What about your great grandfather?
Why are your kids like English boys that then moved to America?
I don't know.
That's where all the castles are. They actually bought a castle, and now generations later, they all have English accents.
Yeah, and then they talk, and then their butler's being like, well, "What about my grandfather, Luke Stevens?" And they said, "He died poor." He didn't get in. They once had a podcast together, and one went one way, one went the other. And now bring me my caviar.
You really are not good at making money, because we were talking about the shirts, like setting up the shop, and I don't know if we should talk about this, but we're just going to. And I was like, is that really the price that you want to put it at? And he's like, yeah, we don't need to make money on this. And I was like, what?
I want people to wear our things. And so I would rather have like those, the logo shirts, price to move.
Let's get them out
price
there.
To move. I want to see, I would rather see 100 people wearing our logo shirts than make $100.
Luke is making a branding move.
Branding move.
Wow.
So
he's got the brand in mind.
And guys, check out those t-shirts. And are you miffed? And are you peeved?
Miffed.
Miffed.
Miffed. Miffed and peeved.
I'm miffed. I'm peeved. The other night, my wife.
My wife.
She was outside and she out on the front porch, and she's like, hey, you need to come out here. I go outside, and she's like, I hear this sound. What is that sound? And it was like this like chewing like sound. And we're looking around. We look up and we see this squirrel up toward the tip of where our roof line is. And he's poking his head out of this hole that he has created on our siding. And I'm getting all...
I know it's hard for you.
I barely talk about this.
You're verklempt.
Verklempt. And he is looking at us.
Yeah.
He knows.
And then he just starts chewing, and he's just looking at us. I'm like, that jerk is in my house. He's in my attic. So...
You know what he's chewing up there? Wires. That's what they do.
And that was our fear.
Your internet's going to go out because he's chewed through the wire.
I know. That was exactly our fear. We're going to have some kind of fire. Our house burns down because of this stupid squirrel. So over the last couple days, So there are two access points to our attic. Mm-hmm. One is through the garage. The other one is through our upstairs.
Mm.
And so...
South and northeast. Got it.
That's right. So... In order to, so they are up above where our upstairs ceiling is. like so really like really high up. And so I can't get up there from this side. And the other one, there's this closet that you have to go through. And we would just shove just a bunch of crap in that closet.
Yeah,
and so I had to, one, I'm so miffed that I have to get all this stuff out of this closet. It's like our Christmas decorations, like holiday decorations, toys that we were annoyed that our kids had. So we threw them in the closet so they wouldn't play with them. So took it all out. I have to go in there. I have to bring a ladder into the attic to climb up to the top of this thing. I'm climbing up there. I took my kid's BB gun up there with me. I've got a flashlight and a BB gun.
No!
And I'm looking for these squirrels.
Oh.
And there's nothing.
You got to put poison up there.
There's nothing up there, though. Okay. I was going up there just to scope it out. Uh-huh. I was going to find the nest. I have lots of different strategies I was going to work with once I found the nest.
Are you going to stomp a nest?
You know what? I can't say what was going to happen.
I don't know what was going to come over me in that moment.
He didn't have a gun.
Sometimes as a father, you just don't know what's going to happen. But there's nothing up there. There's no signs of animals or anything. So I get out on the roof last night and look where they're at. And they have just made a nest in the ledge. That's up there.
Oh.
Only. So they're not in my attic. I was actually grateful and blessed. Because
oh.
we have to have the whole, basically have the whole outside of our house redone at some point soon. And I was so happy. Like, they're not in my attic. They're just making a nest in, like, this, like, veneer thing out on the edge of our house. So.
And then he stomped them out.
And then he stomped them anyway.
And I shot them all in the face with a BB gun.
Oh, no. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was a journey. It really was. I was up on my roof at 11 o'clock at night last night with the BB gun.
When your wife was outside originally, was she sweeping?
No.
What?
Have you ever played Harvest Moon, the farm simulation video game?
No.
One of the wives that you married, she just stands outside and sweeps all day. That's all she does.
Outside.
No, we got these rocking chairs. My father-in-law bought us these really nice rocking chairs for our front porch. And, you know, we've just been like sitting out there hanging out.
Sweeping outside is a real Sisyphus situation.
We have a leaf blower that we use instead of sweeping.
I have a leaf blower. It's awesome.
They're awesome.
Love the leaf blower.
Yeah.
You know what else? My dad bought?
What?
Opposite. Leaf sucker.
Whoa.
Oh, I need one.
Tube, and it sucks up the leaves and it grinds them up, puts them in the big bag they carry around.
I need one.
It's awesome.
I need one.
It's the best.
What are they called?
I think it's a leaf sucker. It's called a leaf vacuum. It's
big sucker.
Like if you type in leaf vacuum, you'll find it.
It's called Suck 5000.
How much do you think these things cost?
Oh,
you can get a Black & Decker one for $84.
Boom. And I'm telling you, It's nice.
There's one that has a rolly cart, but that one is expensive.
We don't have a rolly cart. It's a workout, too. Are you grateful and blessed? Are you miffed and peeved?
I'm miffed. There was a huge wasp in our shop at work the other day.
It stung you on the penis.
I whipped it out. Usually that scares them.
Found a giant wasp nest the other day. Actually, my son Asher found a giant wasp nest. We had been looking for it all summer. Finally found it. Huge, giant, terrifying.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
How? Set it on fire.
Set the whole backyard on fire.
This all has to go.
It all must go.
Bye.